My wife's grandma turns 100 in July. And
Shout out.
yeah, shout out. She listens, dude. She's got an RSS feed. She's on the Substack feed too. She figured it out before all you
Yeah.
guys could figure it out how to listen on, your actual podcast player. 100-year-old lady figured it out too. She
Her
loves.
comments get a little spicy. She takes it further
Oh
than we
my.
do. I mean,
Yeah.
with all every I mean, it's like, whoa, dude.
Yeah. And she's just like,
Yeah.
she'll be like, say, like passive aggressive things like the episodes have been really good lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Comma lately.
Yeah. Comma, dot, dot. No, she goes dot,
Yeah.
dot, dot. She goes dot, dot,
Dot,
dot
yeah.
lately.
See, I
Yeah.
mean, that makes me like her. I'm a dot, dot, dot kind of guy.
Oh, I like dot, dot, dot. They say that's
Yeah.
feminine, but I think only w that's just
Nah.
usually from like guys that aren't creative that say
I'll
stuff like
overuse
that.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. But she's turning 100, and I was talking to we were talking about it with my parents this weekend. My parents were like, "Oh, doesn't the president write you a letter when you turn 100?" Like, no,
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Like,
Yeah.
if you have to like register, it's like this thing. Like, I think the
Yeah.
family members will be like, "Hey, Joe Biden, can you write my grandma a letter or something?" And it's like some total copy pasted like letter, and then they send it to her. It's like, "Hey, supposed to be a letter for the president." Now that I thought the president's Joe Biden, she would hate that, by the way. She would be like, "This is my last day on Earth. I would hate for Joe Biden to be the to write me a letter when I'm 100." And
Yeah.
yeah, she we don't want to give her any surprises there. But I was thinking about, like, does Canada have that with Trudeau?
Maybe it's like a maid letter.
You think he just pull No, he pulls up,
Yeah.
dude. He pulls
Yeah.
up like an 80s movie in your driveway, leaning against a Trans Am, but it's the suicide pod. He's like,
Yeah.
"Thought you were slick, huh?" You
The
know what I mean?
fawns get in. Just the
A
get
hundred? What,
in,
you've been
dude.
sucking on the Canadian teat for this
Yeah.
long?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Motoring.
Yeah.
Yeah. From the 5 to the 6, we be in the mix with that rare candy paint job on the whip. I need food for the kids, money for the rent. Fuck a lockdown, baby, I can't do that shit. And I don't never vote, cause I'm fucking broke. And either way, I know the police ain't gonna leave me alone. On a plane by the visit, Glenn Rockney. Crypto told me I should bring the Glock with me. So I packed up my piece and I'm sliding. Cause we might get caught up in a riot. Middle finger Trump, middle finger Biden. Fuck a left, fuck a right, is you riding? Know you love to see it, dudes rocking. Ain't no politics, baby, we just talking. From the birds to the bricks, we be in the mix. With that rare candy paint job on the whip, who you with?
It's crazy. Yeah, they want, that's what they want. They want people to die so that they don't have to pay out. I was reading this thing on how, all the, like, San Francisco, you hear all these like these giant office buildings in San Fran and Toronto, and they're like, oh, this guy paid $800 million for it and he sold it for $200 million, right? And it's like he took a huge loss on like an office building in San Fran or whatever the price is on that shit, right? And the everyone's like, where'd that money go? Like, did they just take that loss? And it's like, well, it's like I heard this thing that 9 times out of 10, that's just someone's pension fund for like a giant company,
Oh,
you
sure.
know? So like people just lose their pensions because someone speculated on an office building in a shitty downtown city.
Yeah, then they'll be like, "Guys, well, they'll be like, guys from Pakistan that we could bring in don't know what pensions are.
No,
That they don't know what that
yeah.
is."
They don't have
Yeah.
that word in their
They have
lexicon either.
dowries. It's a different thing.
Yeah.
And
Muhammad. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. There's a different thing. So if you want your pension, that's fine. That why don't you go ahead and vote for the other side then?
Yeah.
And yeah,
As long
the
as I get that vape pension, dude, I'm down. I
vape
fucking
pension.
yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And now I wanted a couple things I wanted to talk about today. Now, have you heard about this H1N1 animal virus thing that's coming out right now?
Isn't it H1N5 or something? I think
What,
it's
H1N95, tell you
yeah.
that
Yeah,
much.
it is.
But the
Yeah, I've heard about it. I've heard about it. Yeah. That's another excuse for them to just murder 700,000 cows to be like, oh yeah, we got to take these out or something, and
Yeah, because that's
like no
where
one can eat them. Yeah, it's just like,
the meat bros are super. That's where they're at right now. They want to get rid of the cows, and it's like, I mean, or they just want to lock down the country again and just be like, oh, the wet market thing's not going to work again. Let's pick a rural MAGA farm where this could start
Yeah,
from.
because they lost that whole market share of the panic. They're like, well, none of them believed it, so we need to hit them. I know, farm animals.
Yeah, it was your farm. Yeah. Yeah, maybe yeah. your farm's a wet market. You ever think about that? Yeah.
You know? Did you see the thing, Brad? This is, well, they were talking about raw milk again, and I saw Braddock in some comments, and they were talking like, you know how like some guy was like, one fleck of manure, and that's a 5-year-old dead. And then Braddock left this really like sensible comment, Benjamin Braddock, for those of you who I'm talking about. Where he's like, well, actually, you know, they used to, you know, cut milk with like river water, and it was all contaminated with giardia, and it was just, he just went through this whole lengthy thing of all the crazy shit they used to do that was actually killing people. And I just pulled up and did hit him with a, it was a great comment, it was a great like long, you know, like, oh, this is actually what it's, raw milk's actually fine, blah blah. And I replied, I hit him with the dissolving illusions milk edition. And he's like, clocked for sure. But man, that response to him just went like, it popped, dude. It went viral. I'm still, dude, yeah, just dissolving illusions milk edition, that's all I said. And it was like,
damn, well, that, I mean, that's good that people like even understood what that meant.
So, I know, that's what, yeah, I was like, damn, yeah, this is like a deep cut, and people know, dude, people,
yeah, yeah, nature is healing, despite the fact that people are saying nature is not healing by saying that the cows have you know, H1N1 bird flu, but or H5, it's H5N1. You're right. Yeah, it is. So yeah,
so we were all wrong.
Yeah, we were. Guess what? I'm not gonna do. I don't give a shit. That's my thing. I would have got it right if I cared.
Well, it's like Billy Bean, Moneyball. We were right in the aggregate. You know, it's like together we were right. You know.
Yeah. I mean, dude, if Harris Ranch is gonna get me, then Harris Ranch is gonna get me, dude. That's the way I look at it.
There was a time when it was my dad and my brother and sister and I were driving down to Disneyland. Not my mom. My mom didn't come on this one. And we're just doing a little weekend trip to Disneyland. And we stopped by at Harris Ranch for lunch on the way down there, right before the Grapevine or whatever in LA, right? You know, before hitting the...
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And dude, we each got a steak at Harris Ranch. And all of us, the most dog shit steak we've ever had in our lives.
Yeah, it's bad. Harris Ranch sucks.
It was bad, dude. It was like, we were like shocked at how bad it was. It was crazy. No,
it's a terrible place. And there's people at my work that go to Disneyland, and they're Disney adults, and they have like three kids. No, they have three kids. They lie to the kids sometimes so they can take trips by themselves. And I'm like, that is insane to like lie to, to be like, you know, your kids are probably like, you know, you got to stay with grandma this weekend. And you're like telling your mom, don't fuck. Because like the mom could be like, yeah, but remember all the shit you put me through. I could end this quick. I could tell your kids that you're at Disneyland without them.
Damn.
And, I mean, I honestly, the Menendez brothers is where I think of. Like, that's like... like the ones that killed their parents, like that's I feel like that's an origin story there, because if you were 7 years old and your fucking parents went to Disneyland without you, dude,
that's crazy, dude. No. Well, that in a weird way that would kind of make sense, because it's so, you wouldn't think, it's, you don't think when you're 7 it's a kid's thing, you think everyone's having the time of their life.
Yeah, but you watch the shit though, like you watch, like those are your movies, your shows, like like you're typically, it's like, yeah, and I get it, but I don't know. For me, I'm just like, he was explaining that to me, like, he's like, doesn't it just like suck? I have to like lie to my kid. I'm like, well, yeah, but why are you doing that? Like, just, yeah, I don't know. And I get, maybe maybe it's an expense thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that's, I don't know. I feel like Disneyland should have kids' budget.
What if you just had like a virtual, like, you went to Disneyland and you zoomed in to your kids at home. You showed them all the shit you're doing virtually, and they're just on the couch.
Yeah. Yeah. They're at Magic Mountain by themselves.
Yeah. Dude,
Magic Mountain is cool, but if you ever go there, there is no shade at Magic Mountain.
No.
And like, and it's off like desert highway. You're just like, it's rough, dude. It's like Zeppelin box set album cover. It's fucking crispy, scorching.
It's crispy.
Scorching out there. Yeah. Like it is so bad, dude. When you see the big fellas out there moving around,
there's some lumber in.
Well, H5N1 collapsed cow, dude.
We're going to get you right back to the episode, but I just wanted to let you guys know of a few other things we offer at Rare Candy Industries. We have a Substack with free and paid subscription options. Free subscribers get access to all written content. That includes Bob's Red Pill. That's the best thing going on the internet right now. Trust me. Paid subscribers get full access to our premium episode feed. And that's just every episode we don't necessarily want to share with the general public, if you know what I'm saying. Again, that's rarecandy.substack.com. We also have merch. That link's a little long for me to say right now, but go to the description, go to our merch store, and find a shirt that's right for you. We have Rare Candy shirts, Dr. Bronner soap label shirts, Reishi mushroom shirts, all types of stuff there. Check it out. There's got to be something for you. And lastly, check us out on social media. On Instagram, we're Rare Candy Pod, but on Twitter, we're at Rare Candy Pod 1. All right, enough of that. Let's get you back into the episode.
Yeah. No, but on your previous point, I feel like our like millennial Disneyland is for millennials as to what like Christmas is for boomers. You know how Christmas, us growing up, you're all listening to like Nat King Cole songs, yeah, and all these weirdo 50s songs. We were replicating the boomers' childhood with the version of Christmas that we got. You know, it was just, we were just doing what they did. And now we're doing that for like millennials, or right, that for our kids, for Disneylanders, you know?
Well, cause you think of Disney adults as like not having kids. Like, so I thought it was kind of like, or you know what I mean? The whole stunted millennial stereotype and stuff. But then the fact is like, they do have them and that like they do like every other one. So the kids think the parents go 4 times a year. They go 8. Like,
yeah.
It's like, cause they have the pass.
The pass, dude, the pass.
Where do the parents tell them they're going?
That's crazy.
In the social media era, like, kids are smart, dude. I bet, you know, like they'll probably figure it out. Like, well, because you know they got to do the no phone thing. Like, they're probably like, you do not post a picture. We don't post them until after. We will post them the next trip, so it looks like we did it from the next trip.
You know, you're harboring photos. You have like a photo bay, like it's just a virtual bay.
It's like, okay, the June folder, we can do it on the August trip.
It's like, you had that shirt back then? I got that for you for Christmas.
Oh, man. It's crazy. Man. But your point about the Christmas music, I remember my mom, so like she had some good ones. She had she was old school. She was like Bing Crosby. My mom's a very progressive person, but for Christmas, she's a reactionary, which I love. But she'll do Bing Crosby, killer Christmas album. I mean, the guy that was his time, dude. That was his Jordan rip off.
Just let him tee off, dude.
Dude, he was Jordan ripping off the tearaway sweats, dude, going into play a game when it was Christmas time. That plays. Yeah. Dude, he's gonna tear up Christmas. Nat King Cole's another one.
Yeah.
And then the worst one she had though is she had a big time Celtic phase. Late 90s, early 2000s Celtic phase for white chicks, dude, was a massive thing. And
I know Riverdance, dude.
Yeah, she took me to see Michael Flatley at the fucking Shark Tank, dude, at the Sharks Arena. The boys were getting active. Michael Flatley, I think he was called Lord of the Dance, I think was his his thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was the same thing as the Riverdance. I can't remember. It was gay. But I'm an Irish man. She's not Irish. Yeah. My dad and I are. That's the crazy part. She's Eastern European. I think she's got a little Scots-Irish like on part of it, but for the most part, she's Eastern European. But she got real. It was a thing. It was a thing, dude. It was a thing.
Big time.
And so
mom took me to one too. Like when I was little. Yeah, we all got hit by the.
Yeah, nobody, and she always acted like you wanted to go too. It's like, I don't want to go. This is really gay.
They laundered so much shit they wanted to do through their 7-year-old to 9-year-old kids, dude. It's crazy.
Because Irish stuff for kids isn't cool. Like, it's just like being a kid, it's like you get chores if you're Irish. Like, I feel like it's like, not like, not like the Irish childhood doesn't like
street sweeper.
You're Irish street sweeper, man. And so but she had this other one, and this was the worst, dude. It was the Christmas bagpipes album. Dude, that was rolling, and it goes through all the classics, but it always, I'm like, Mom, did a police officer get shot or something? Is this like a police funeral?
Like 21 gun salute, dude. Yeah.
Like where the guy with like the movie where the
American
guy's like
flag.
They're like, they blame this on a black guy, but I see the guy who killed him. And it's like,
he's like over there.
Like it was a total movie like that. And it was the bagpipe is one of the worst sounds ever in the history.
Yeah, it does. You know which one sucks that you wouldn't think it's a. Which one sucks that you wouldn't expect is Frank Sinatra Christmas, dude. Not good.
I'll tell you right now, I'm not a Sinatra guy.
Give me some, dude. Let's go, dude. It's fucking good, dude.
He's not tight. Like, because I've been really into Elvis lately, and Elvis is. Yeah. So we were lied to as children, 90s millennial children. Elvis is a hack loser. As a kid, you learn that unless your parents were like super into Elvis. Our parents' generation, or at least my parents, they were raised on Fat Elvis. So like who also still rocked, by the way. There was never a point where he was bad. It was just like 2 days before he died, he was doing
Led Zeppelin era Elvis, dude. Led Zeppelin era Elvis.
Yeah, he was killing. He literally was a Zeppelin. Like, he was just a massive Zeppelin on stage. But he was great. And then you're taught, like, Frank Sinatra is the man. Like, I come from, like, a lot of my family's from the East Coast. So it's like, so the Rags to Riches song is like a pretty good song. It's one of the better, you know, like, I think that's Sinatra, right? It's some Sinatra tier. Come from Sinatra, to riches.
Sinatra's just Reddit, you know. Oh, he took helicopters to his concert.
I've come from rags to Reddit.
Title.
Yeah. I think that one's gonna make some people mad. The Sinatra one because he's an institution, and I get it. This is year four of the podcast.
No, but I've never dug in. I've tried. It just never gripped me. And Elvis, I mean, I remember there was a kid in our neighborhood, I think went to our elementary and middle school, and then ended up going to like the private school and was kind of balling to baseball. His dad, I remember we went on some like when in elementary school when we were all still, when we were friends before he became like an asshole, you know, this kid or whatever. And his dad was like kind of a boss. You could tell he was balling. Even as a kid, you're like, this dude's balling. He's cool. The dad. And it was like, I remember him driving us to this bowling thing, and he's like, he was just jamming Elvis. And he's like, you know what they say? Millions of fans can't be wrong. What's that saying about Elvis? You know, like 50 million fans can't be wrong. Oh, it's like
dude, the most legendary thing is when the Beatles met Elvis, dude. It's one of the coolest stories ever. It's like he had like they're all so funny telling the story. I think it's actually Paul telling the story. And it was really funny. He's like, yeah, you know, we got to the house and, you know, all of a sudden you open the door and you're just like, what the fuck? And the Beatles are already popping at this time. They're not like, you know, but they're still kids and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he opens up the door and he's like, oh, nice to meet you fellas, you know? Yeah. He comes in and dude, he's like, and Elvis was sitting on the couch and he was changing the channel on the telly with a thing. Yeah. Holding it in his hand, dude. And we were like, next level shit, dude. Elvis has got this thing that changes the channel. Yeah. And then, and then he was like, they were saying like, so what have you been up to, like, to Elvis? Yeah. and then you just don't know what to say to him. Yeah. And he was hella cool. And he was just like, oh yeah, we're just doing a movie. He goes, you won't believe it. He goes, I'm an ex-military man who likes to sing rock and roll, and I'm in love with a lady. You know what I mean? And then they're like, the guy goes, the only time I ever deviate from that formula, I lost like $2 million or whatever. Like, we just, I liked him so, like, I'm getting back into him, and like, there's this great live album. I can't remember what it's called, but it's got this live anthology on Apple Music that's so good. And dude, he does like a Bridge Over Troubled Water, and he's just tearing it up. Big Wall of Sound style, just all these rocks, all these great sounds. But I never had the Sinatra moment. My grandpa loved him. My he's a New Yorker. He's just a big New Yorker, and they loved him. And they said he used to tell this joke, and his memory started going late to where he would just fire it off every hour, like a clock, like a weird clock they had in their house. And he would say, like, he goes, hey, I ever tell you about the time Frank Sinatra saved my life? And I'm like, no. He goes, yeah. He said, that's enough, boys. Let him up. And, you know, because he's like a mobster, you know. Like,
yeah.
He was beating my ass. And my grandpa has a killer delivery. It was way better than I did it. But, yeah, that was just his joke. He thought that was the funny. It used to kill at his, like, General Electric office in, like, 1957. It just used to crush, like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
His little, like, Mad Men office over there. But
hell yeah. Yeah.
No, but we were lied to. And, like, Elvis, like, you hear about Elvis because, like, everybody was lampooning, like, fat Elvis, like, on 90s. Content when we were young, so you're kind of like, oh, was it just? And then you hear the rappers go like, well, Elvis stole everything from Black, so you're like, oh, so he's a fat drug addict thief. And you're like, yeah, it slaps. No, but you know, I don't the whole thief, we've talked about that ad nauseum, the whole thief thing, like, it's just like, it's sicker than what he stole it from. I'm sorry, like, I
think it's at least on par. And the thing is, he was raised in that environment. It's not he was like,
you know what I mean?
I'm gonna steal. Yeah, the fucking
you know
shit.
What I mean it's by on par. Yeah. It's commercially the shit that they were doing was not commercially viable. The stuff.
No, none of those artists are like, oh, I'm really mad this guy made us all way more famous and rich. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I'm really glad this guy If only this guy didn't save us from obscurity. That guy really sucks. You know,
I love how he was just like, I love how he was just like fizzing back then too. Oh,
yeah,
like,
dude.
Yeah, dude. No, like literally, it was like ecstasy pills. Like, he had like the first MDMA, like back in the day. Like he had like the new hot off the streets, like Jordan release MDMA, like
straight from
white
Berkeley,
Nikes,
dude. Alexander Shulgin. Dude, that's so tight.
No, he had the fire. I remember like there's that part in Walk the Line where he's like in the Johnny Cash movie where he's like showing Johnny Cash, he had him like in a basketball, like in a blown up basketball, all the pills to like get him across the board, state lines and stuff. Kyle Rittenhouse, shout out. Yeah, and he was like, and he had just a basketball full of pills, and he's like, you want some?
First of all, and he just. Just like, what's in here?
What if you were the border patrol? It's like, oh, Elvis, I'll cross you up right now. Yeah. Like, and then you fucking dribble it. Just you're like, just
splits open. How do you like getting in there? I have so many questions just about that.
It's but Elvis, the whole and he was like Judy Garland of the time. Yeah. Like he had all the poppin' stuff before everybody else did.
Yeah.
His manager, the
Tom Hanks guy, you know, the fucking
Colonel Tom Parker. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Colonel, dude, straight perking, dude. It's just Vegas. It's just, you know, it's just like
dude, that movie sucks so fucking bad.
Oh,
that
movie, the music, like the interludes. And for those that don't know what we're talking, it's like, imagine, hey, let's do an Elvis movie, but let's add like Migos.
The weekend. The weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Cardi B.
Give me the pills. I'm Elvis, man. Yeah. It's like a weekend song.
It's anyone who watches this movie in 10 years is going to like laugh and turn it off after 10 minutes. That's also the kind of movie we want.
Elvis to make. Gets his first record contract. I'm blinded by the light. Okay, yeah.
It could have been good. It could have been a good movie. That's
The guy's good. I actually think the guy's good as Elvis. I thought that I thought he had
Colonel
had
Tom
it going
Hanks
on.
Dude, it was perking.
Tom Hanks is like a Frank Sinatra to me. I can't do it.
Hank Sinatra.
Hank's Sinatra.
Yeah.
Dude, Tom Hanks on Twitter is like the worst person too. Back in the day, he was an A's fan, so I used to love when he would like post up A. He's a Berkeley cat, dude.
That's right.
He's a Bay Area guy. And he's like was alive when the A's were like 70s three-peat.
Oh, yeah.
So he was crushing. Awesome. So but he would always sign his tweets with Hanks, H-A-N-X.
H-A-N-X, oh dude. Yeah,
like Latinx, dude.
Yeah.
Latinx. And you've come up with like four episode titles in the last 10 minutes, dude. That's pretty good.
Yeah,
it's gonna be tough, but yeah, I laughed about how much we were lied to about that.
No, I don't fuck. I definitely don't fuck with Hanks because of the Australian COVID psyop and him. Like,
why was he the guy?
Son. Yeah, mm-hmm. And his like, oh, so your son's totally based and raw and is amazing in the Larry David episode, but you had to like denounce him because he didn't go along with your like globalist scheme or whatever. Fucking asshole. Yeah. It's like,
and his biggest shit is like Toy Story. Like for me, like where I'm just like, that's when you were tight, when I couldn't see you. Like Forrest Gump sucks. It's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Like as a kid, it works.
That's our stance. That's our official stance.
When you're a kid, you're kind of like, this is like the first big, like expansive, sprawling epic of like, you know, historical fiction that I could like, this is kind of cool. But then I tried watching that movie like 5 years ago. I was like, this is horrible.
The best part is the punt returns, dude.
Bear Bryant stuff it's fun. Yeah. Like if there's cute moments of it, like, oh, that's funny. You know, like where I gotta pay. And where, you know, but it's just, it's not good. Pretty decent AIDS actor when he has AIDS in Philadelphia. That's okay. The one, the cutty Tom Hanks movie that's actually really good is Road to Perdition, dude, starring old Paul Newman. It's like an Irish mob kind of movie. It's good. It's a good movie. Yeah. That's a fun one. But
what about Apollo 13?
Dude, I'm trying to think if I've seen Apollo 13.
Oh, we gotta
watch it. Maybe when I was post moon pill,
we gotta watch.
What's the one where they're all old? Tommy Lee Jones and like Clint Eastwood, and they go to the moon.
Ooh,
Space Cowboys. Space Cowboys.
Oh, okay. I don't think I've seen it though.
That one I've seen. That one was silly. That was a silly movie. Funny old guy movie. No, I don't know that I've seen Apollo 13, to be honest. But if I did, it's been a long time ago. But did you see that clip of Alec Baldwin?
Is this the coffee one?
Yeah,
I haven't seen it,
I feel really bad for Alec Baldwin. I have a tough time.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it, but I've seen people seeing it. So I've seen the screenshot. So I kind of know what happened, I guess, but I haven't seen it in the flesh.
So it was this a crackhead woman, for Palestine, I guess. Yeah. She's like a crackhead influencer. Like, it's where we are in 2024, yeah. And Jared knows her. No, I'm kidding. But there was
a sick way to get your, instead of selling copper, you just monetized it or some shit.
It's like, what do you want me to do? Steal copper wire, or should I harass celebrities to say to renounce Zionism? And it's funny, Alec Baldwin's had a rough go, and he's in a coffee shop. He's like, God, I hope nobody pulls their fucking phone out in the store and just starts talking to me, and he just looks really sad. And they pull up the phone, and he's just like, come on. Like, he's just like, come on, please, please. Like, I've had the year from hell. And and she's like, do you denounce Zionism? Say free Palestine. He's like, no. He's like, I'm in Hollywood. He doesn't say it, but he's like, I'm a fucking actor, dude.
Exactly.
Like, he's like, I'm already on thin ice. I don't know I don't know if I told anybody, but I'm on thin ice right now. I literally shot a woman on set, it's so, dude, I never got more mad at, like, I haven't been mad at conservatives very much, because I truly don't believe that they're in the wrong a lot these days. But that was fucked up, though. I know, because I get why they did it. They were like, oh, blood's in the water. We're sharks. Alec Baldwin was shrieking libtard Trump impression guy for a long time. So we can get him with this. But I'm like, dude. They were really saying he might have actually shot her on purpose on set. Alec Baldwin's like, fuck this bitch, dude. Yeah. just fucking shot her. like, dude, this bitch is fucking annoying, dude.
It's on set, it's on site.
Yeah. He's like, coffee is for closers.
And yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And he just fucking shoots her. But yeah, because I felt bad. And I'm like, dude, this is where this is, when we have LaFredo on, right? We have Jeremy, we've had Max on. They have a sensible take on Palestine and versus Israel. And my whole stance is I'm kind of that Israel thing just is really suspect to me. That's always 100%. Been our take. It's never the demographics at war, it's white supremacy. It's not that any of that to me. It's just that I don't know.
No, because then you get caught up defending it because college students are for it, and that whole I get it. The activists are dumbass. We know that.
Yeah.
They're
straight up state of fear activists, right now. Like the ones that are doing
what they or like no, they're actually Hamas are the good one. There's something I don't even know.
I know they go hard. Okay. So hard.
So shocking.
And I do believe I want to say that there is kind of a. I wonder if old George Soros is double dipping a little bit, let's rile up the most retarded Ivy League college students. Let's get UCLA on it. Let's get all these campuses going, and let's make we'll put all the kids UCLA. in N95 masks. We'll do that, because that was my thing. That's I turn on the fucking protest, dude. They're all wearing masks. They all fucking. Have MX. My name is MX. Jonathan. It's
What did Lee Fang say? He's like, dude, guys, protest. He's like, do your protest, but can you please be fucking normal and take the masks off?
They did the classic leftist thing. It's like, well, we're hiding our identity. It's like, you're at an Ivy League school. We probably know who you are, first of all. And second off, stop trying to get me to fucking care about Ivy League schools. It never works. I didn't care about Claudine Gay. Our person named Gay at an Ivy League school. Doing this Catherine Maher at NPR, nice try, it's not working on me, and I'm not falling for the fucking the people who let's say we show up at Columbia University, right, and we're just like, dude, all right, we're active we're in the thing, we're like, damn, dude, Columbia had a vax mandate too, right? Isn't that fucking crazy? And everyone's like,
was good actually.
Who do you think's hoarding all the vaccines? It's
so funny to just think of the ripple effect. I was talking about this a secretly based coworker that I like a lot.
Little fireside chat.
And it's just, you just dance around the line and shit. But just the ripple effects of a certain sector of people aren't allowed to admit that masks are gay for 10 years. They're not allowed to say. And then, you know, the day's coming where they're like, oh, that was dumb. Like, it'll be like a new crop of kids or whatever. But it's like, it's just so funny how, like, just give it up. Just, you know, it's okay. You were wrong. You're wrong. Yeah. It's wild.
My And like my boy, he hit me up. He's my good friend for many years, but he moved to Arizona. So, and you know, he's got a family and everything. So,
yeah,
kind of just, but he's a big Raider fan. So that's kind of when we text each other, it's like the draft, start of the season, big game. Like, he'll always be like, how we feeling? How we feeling? You know, talking. And he was saying, like, he was like, dude, did you hear about Joel Embiid? He's like, he's got Bell. He's like, dude, he's got Bell's palsy. And he was like, he was doing it with me, like feeling it out. And I just went crazy, .. Like I was like, go on, you know, that's what I'm doing. Uh-huh. Like, I feel like it's like a gay sex at like a rest stop. Mm-hmm. Like we're like trying to figure out if like the code's being said to each other to uh-huh. and he's like, he's just like, he's, I was like, yeah, I was like, so weird how that just like happens, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah. And then that was it.
Murdered by Yeah, cat, apologize, cat, listeners.
You got cat's palsy right now, dude.
Yeah, and, Joel's palsy.
Joel's palsy. But it's like, and it's clear, like Joel Embiid just randomly getting Bell's palsy as like a fit athlete, like, you know, makes you think. And
dude, it's funny. I'll randomly go to Kirsch's
timeline,
and I'll just scroll through. I'll just like scroll through, and I'll just see a face like this. He's just like
posting. I know, dude.
I'm like, damn. Yeah,
it's a tough scroll.
It's a tough scroll, dude.
Anyways, like the college campus is like, it's. I just know.
Okay. I don't give a fuck about college.
No, I exactly. The minute something hits college, like I felt bad about like the UC mandates for like.
I didn't like it when I was there. You didn't like it when you were there. No. And ever since we left, I've been trying to forget about it.
And the real problem I have is like they're trying. Okay, first off, you are probably a rich Jewish kid. I heard on Red Scare they were talking about this, and I think they were absolutely right. They're like, you're a rich fucking college kid. She's like, is it just Jews against Jews, like protesting each other on the college campus?
Like, yeah, it's like a little ecosystem.
I think that, and honestly, if I was like, okay, I'm again not pro Israel, but if I was like a Jewish dad that had money to send my kid to the fucking Ivy League school, and then you find out they're doing that, it's like, dude, I would have sent you to the fucking hippie, fucking slut Arizona State school or something. I would have sent you to like that or like UC Berkeley.
I would have invested the leftovers into it. Like,
I sent you to the fucking. Yeah. Legally Blonde school, dude. I sent you to that shit, and now you're protesting against Israel. It's like, you have money because of Israel gave money to me. Exactly. Like, I have money because of Israel. Like, I can just picture that, and you know,
and that's probably why they're doing it. That's probably why they're doing it.
Exactly. This is a war that we're not a part of, and they're trying to like launder it in this.
It's beneath the surface. It's right under the surface. We're out, dude. Exactly.
My thing is like, how did those people feel about the Canadian trucker protests? And like, and then they spent this whole time trying to distance themselves from January 6th. I'm like, well, if you're trying to distance yourself from like a true countercultural thing, like regardless of how you feel about January 6th, it clearly wasn't wanted by a lot of people in power, and even if it was a honeypot or anything like that. And then the trucker protests in Canada, it's like, if you weren't like for those or even like didn't feel like they should have even been allowed, I have a tough time talking to somebody who's probably gonna fucking enforce all this horse shit once they grow out of this phase. They're gonna enforce all this dumb shit when they get like 4 years from now, like when they're out of their like Woody Allen college student phase. Like I don't know, I have a tough time. I'm too old for this stuff. Like, I'm watching, like, I'm officially at that age where I see somebody who's really, when they're 22 years old or like 20 years old, and they think they're just super set on what they are. And I'm just like, you're not.
And,
I don't know.
What the fuck can we do? There's nothing we can do to move the needle on anything on that conflict. We're all going to pay taxes. It's all going to go to some kid getting blown up. It's like, there's nothing we can do. We are grandfathered in at this point. It's like, you know what I mean? It's just, it fucking sucks. Like, it's not, it's, I don't know. I'm sorry if that sounds too harsh or black-pilled or whatever, but it's just like, it is what it is, Israel.
Damn, you're just, you're on fire, dude. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah. And the average kid at that protest too, you'll see them like put the camera on, and it looks like those kids that are like the long COVID people on Twitter. Like, and they'll be like, it'll be the same person, and you'll scroll like four tweets down, and they'll just be like, well, guys, I thought I could have a party, and it looks like it was a super spreader event. I had the ventilation. I had my I had my landlord come in and put the proper ventilation in there per state of New York, and I put on this full face respirator, and somehow it still got me. I'm gonna go get my 10th shot, and then they're like, free Palestine. And you're just like, all right, man, whatever, dude. Like,
dude, any random one of these people listen, if they listen to this clip, the last 5 minutes, they would assume we're on Israel's side or whatever, which is funny because all we do is clown on it and make fun of it.
No, I trust a couple people to tell me what's going on over there, and they're both in the right. I think it's Max Blumenthal and Jeremy Lafredo. I watched them. They're at least, I think Lee Fang does a really good job, like on a lot of things. Like,
and
I
even think them, I'm like, okay, like it's still not my thing. You know, it's like,
let's talk, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, let's talk. What did you see there?
Non-retarded version of what's
exactly.
Going on.
Yeah, but it's like, dude, no, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's just not for me. But
my favorite thing about Israel, this is totally unrelated to what's going on, but the whole, how they were releasing their COVID and vax numbers, honestly and unironically, because they didn't know they had to lie about them yet, you know. Everyone's like, oh shit, it's actually not working, you know, and because they just thought they did, like, unironically trusted the whole system.
They did. Jeremy said that one time. Israel's really good to their people, like their bros, like they're like people like love living there, like that, like it's they're like, this is awesome. I never want to leave, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like how Disney, they are, dude. So, like, if they, a lot of times, like, they have, like, a super trust of, like, you know, Netanyahu and, like, all that stuff over there. They trust him. So it's like, yeah, when something like that happens, it's like, oh shit, you know?
Yeah.
I was laughing too, because somebody in our Discord or something, one of those places, had said, they brought up, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, because there's this picture coming out of like him at, like, Wendy's. And the big thing about Arnold was back in, like, the 80s during, like, the pumping iron. People like to throw it at some of, like, the health bros, because they're just like, look at Arnold. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't give a shit. He literally was like drinking. He was like, I don't like milk. I just drink beer. Like, I go to Wendy's all the fucking time. He was just that type of guy. Also a big Pfizer enthusiast, but I was trying to think, I'm like, he still is the best governor of my state in my lifetime, dude.
Yeah, shut Gray Davis down, dude.
Gray Davis got fucking smashed.
Gray Davis, dude.
He got recalled, dude. He got absolutely recalled. And Jerry Brown, everybody, like, boomers love Jerry Brown, but it's like, nah, that's not popping either. Just because you smash Linda Ronstadt, dude, doesn't fool me. And but
Arnold's funny because he's like the biggest conservative libtard of all time.
He saw a lane. Like, he was just like, taxes, fuck. Like, you know, and then he just ran for governor. Like, hey, taxes. Yeah. Because where's the lie? And then he's like huge into, like, you need to stay home. You need to stay home and put the mask on. Take the visor. Like, he was just with his llama, his big llama. I don't know if you've seen his Instagram video. Like a bunch of alpacas that come up.
He's
like,
what?
Yeah, he's like, Dorothy, my alpaca, she's vaccinated. And he just smokes big cigars all day and stuff.
Hell yeah.
And he was just doing, like, you could tell he was just getting Pfizer yaper all day, dude. Sitting in his like, it's a sick house. It's so tight. I'm like, fuck, your house is so cool. And I remember my wife loved, she, dude, her mom had the hots for Arnold Schwarzenegger, like, for a long time.
Yeah.
And she loves, like massive muscle bros, dude. Like, just like back in the day, like Dolph Lundgren, like kind of like ugly dudes too, but just like Stallone's a good looking guy. But, like, other than that, like just the yoked bros back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's funny, the guy she married now, who she loves, and I love him, he's amazing. He's just a swagged out, like, intellectual.
Yeah.
Like, so it was like kind of one of those things. Like, she knew, like, those guys ain't gonna do it for you. Like, get with this dude.
Yeah.
And he's awesome. But I laugh because, like, my wife follows him, you know, Arnold on Instagram, and she's just like, he's a fucking shill. Fuck that guy. And I was just like, yeah, I guess so. But, dude, I remember a big controversy when he was governor of California was he, quote unquote, killed Stanley Tukey Williams. And Tukey Williams was like the like leader of the Crips back in the day, like one of the main dude. Mm-hmm. And like it was like a OG like race thing in California. It was a big thing because Tookie Williams, like, killed or ordered the hit, or, you know, he was just all types of crime in, like, LA and stuff were at the hand. He was, like, you know, the fucking Godfather, basically, and it orchestrating all of it. He got popped for whatever, and he was on death row for a long time, right? He's still on death row forever. And this is back when, like, California was still murking people on DR. And he, for the longest time, they're like, Arnold, he cannot kill Stanley Tucci Williams. And everyone was like, why? And they go, he's been rehabilitated. And
it's like one of the most murderous dudes of all time.
Yeah, because he wrote a children's book.
Yeah.
About, like, why you shouldn't do gangbanging.
Yeah.
And, like, I could just see, like, the guy just going, well, this is great. Anyways, can you walk down this hallway with me? We'll get this published. Yeah. And can you walk down this hallway? And, like, I just picture Arnold busting in through the foe with the Terminator motorcycle and the shotgun. Yeah. Like,
nope.
Time's up. Yeah. And then just like they killed him. And it's like, it was just, people were just like, I can't believe it. Like, racist Arnold. It's like, dude, he was on death row since like the fucking 80s, dude. Yeah. like the guy's like, he's not going to be freed. And there were like dumb California people who were like, he's going to be freed. Like they thought that was the trade-off, was like, he either dies or he goes free. It's like, no, he would spend the rest of his life in prison. I hope you know that. I was just like, I grew up Catholic. It's kind of tough to do death penalty when you're Catholic, because you're just not really supposed to take a human being's life. Like, it's just it's just not supposed to be God's work that does that. But I also understand, like, why would we just have this guy in jail forever? Like, you know, doing the same thing. Like, I understand the ethics of that, but I just was brought back to that
because people don't realize how gnarly California was in the 80s, dude, and 90s. You know, it's just like
the Watts riots and stuff. Watts, like, I don't know when those were, but I think
it was late 80s. Yeah,
that was the late 80s. I know there was one in the 60s that was big.
Yeah,
and then there was the like Korean liquor store, like, where that was when rap was just popping in California.
So raw, corrupt, sick. Just fucking,
like Korean liquor store owners.
Yeah,
Jung Hoo. I'm like, Jung Hoo.
Yeah,
you know, like, just like, I don't think that's a real lyric, but I just, it was wild. But it was so funny. I used to listen to, like a lot of that stuff. And like, I had this friend who was this European dude, and he went to like the kind of rival high school as us, but it was like post high school. We started hanging out because he was into like beats and stuff like that. But he was kind of like, he drove like a Saab. He was like a real like English Premier League ass, like European guy, soccer scarf, very Reddit.
Yeah.
Very, very Reddit. I don't know if he was on Reddit or not, but this was like when Reddit was kind of harmless back in the day, even if he was like back when you'd see like,
yeah,
a picture of Joaquin Phoenix four different times, and it would be like, Joaquin Phoenix's head is an avocado, Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then like, it's a hawk, Joaquin Phoenix. Like, that was like what Reddit was back then. And it's just that's not funny, but that's fine if you guys want to do that in one area where I don't have to see it. And but this dude used to roll spliffs, man. Like spliffs, which is the worst way to smoke marijuana. Spliffs are Reddit, by the way. They're terrible.
All bad.
And I hate them. And he would not tell me, which I feel like was almost date rape at that point.
It is. It's like, it's like that's the only form of consent that's important is
if you put cocaine in it. I don't care if you tell me, if you put cocaine or like fucking like hash.
Cause that first hit, you're just like, it's just such a jar. It's such a shock to the system.
I'm trying to smoke this like a man, not a 50s actress. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to like actually hit this
anti Sinatra and anti spliffs. We're gonna definitely hear some. We're gonna hear some buzz on this one, dude.
From rags to spliffs. But spliffs suck, dude. And there's a certain kind of guy that loves spliffs. If that's you, I don't know, man. I mean, just whatever.
Well, you like spliffs? So that's another way of telling me you've never had good weed in your life, you know?
Or you know what they love to tell you is, they go, well, I didn't always like these, but I spent summer abroad. And you're like, oh, this, so you do this to let me know about the summer that you spent abroad in countries I've never been to. I got you. So, it was funny. We're going to be reading Chromosome 6 for our friend Andrew's pod. Shout out to the Heavy Board pod. And I laughed so hard because I was looking up Robin Cook. It's written by Robin Cook, who's one of Crichton's bros. And it's very, he wrote the original book Tacoma. And so, but it's very similar style and everything. Very like, he looked at the clock. He understood here at Lab Tech that this is not what he wanted to be doing. Like, you know, just starting the book that way. And I laughed at like, these were smash hits, dude. He wrote like the Contagion series. That's all him and everything. These were smash hits books read probably by like boomers. And I could just see boomers closing these like medical malpractice novels and be like, I should go to my doctor.
Yeah.
I should get like 10 more vaccines.
Yeah.
Like, it's so funny how it just doesn't, like, they truly are just like fiction, you know, would never weirdly happen.
It's like it's like that should be propaganda that works, but it doesn't work. And I use propaganda not in the negative, just as something that influences someone, but it didn't take. You know,
have you been have people been trying to push the Hep B vax on you recently? It's been today I had a Truman Show moment today.
Who's pushing the Hep B vaccine on you?
So this morning, dude, I get a text because when I got my wisdom teeth pulled, I had to go to CVS to get like this extra ibuprofen for the swelling and stuff. And so but then CVS is like, now that we have your phone number, we can alert you about anything we want. I'm like, I hate signing up for anything in 2024 because it's just like texts just like fucking like
Osmia Rose electronic communications from CVS, yes or no?
Yeah, it's like the 47 brand has new bowling green hats. I'm like, I don't care. Like, just stop texting me that. Right. Yeah, and so I get a text from CVS. They're like, Hep B vaccine, if you're 18 to 59, you need it. I was like, that's a great age range to the people with the same health bill of health, I'm sure.
It's like from voting to Social Security, literally.
Yeah. So then I go, but then like this is within 20 minutes, dude. I go into Safeway in the morning. I wanted to get some beautiful like glacier spring, some glacier water.
Some connoisseur water.
Yes. Yeah. The 8.4.
Yeah,
the 8.4 alkaline. Yeah, dude, shout out.
Not too alkaline.
It's the best bottled water going right now. Mm-hmm. So I went and got some of that on the fucking Safeway radio, because Safeway radio is just like Hall and Oates and then just pharmaceutical ads. That's like what they play at Safeway. Yeah. And so right after She's Gone plays, it goes. If you were born before 1991, you need a You may want to get a hepatitis B vaccine. It's like, oh, so the year I was born, like 1990, like is the cutoff. 1991 is the cutoff. It's like, they're like, Glenn Rockne, get your fucking ass into Safeway.
They're reading your ID as they're reading.
Like, Glenn Rockne, the jig is up. We've heard your shit podcast.
Yeah.
You know, like, you're getting the Hep B vaccine.
For sure. Yeah. 100%.
I know. And I'm just like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I'm, at this point, dude, public health, if I die from anything public health related, it's not my fault. I don't trust science. Sorry.
No, we don't trust the science. It's funny because my mom was recently out here, you know, for a couple days and, you know, just fun and stuff. But she, you know, for those that don't already know, she's kind of like, she's not really political, but was kind of, you know, just living alone.
2016 political. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, living alone, MAGA country.
Right.
Watching MSNBC.
She's a hick, for like she's 4 hours. Dude. She's a hick.
Yeah. But like doesn't understand the rules fully, you know, because it hasn't been like socialized in that system properly. And so like,
she lets the J.K. Rowling stuff slide a little bit.
Exactly. You know, yeah, for sure. And but it's funny. And because she, you know, like a lot of our listeners will know, she was injured severely by the Moderna dose one, basically. Right.
Oh, yeah.
And so she will, and she's like a storyteller, and you know, it's getting, you know, how it gets when you get older and you kind of, And so she'll tell like everyone that'll listen about her vax injury, you know? And I'm like, I'm kind of like, I'm just like, I can hear it like in the background and when we're at like a little gathering or whatever. And I'm just like in my inside, I'm like, yo, chill. Like you don't know. It's like, you don't know who's who out here, you know? It's totally fine. Nothing happened or anything, but I'm like, damn, it's like she'll fire that one off anytime. And then it got me thinking, you know, this is nothing groundbreaking or new on how, like, if you willingly get the vaccine and were injured by it, you're anti-vax. You know, if you tell the story that you were, unless you completely keep that sealed up, you are anti-vax. You know, you're supposed to get hurt in silence and stuff. So anyway, it was funny. It made me laugh that like
some libtard just chloroforms her in the middle of a store. And just drags her out of there in the middle of her vax injury story. Yeah, that's crazy, dude. From the 5 to 6, we be in the mix with our breaking. So we do have some voicemails today.
We got some pretty good ones.
Well, we got to do two solo eps this week because we got some Substack stuff before we launch a Gain of Fiction and a PsyOps book club.
Rare got candy. a lot coming up.
Rarecandy.substack.com. Sign up. Get your own RSS feed. Do not listen on the Substack app. I'm telling you, just don't do it. Like get it on your RSS feed. So that way it just shows up. Yeah. If you like listening on the Substack app, like, all right, but I have other questions about you. So
yeah.
If that's the case, but yeah, it's there. You pick the thing.
Substack, I'm sorry, dude. They're trying to make it a thing. It's not going to be a thing. Like, just stop.
That's like when you just like, you're like, I need more Glenn Greenwald.
Yeah.
You know? And like,
But he'll move off the platform in 2 weeks and tell his audience, like, I still get those emails like quarterly from Glenn Greenwald where he's like,
yeah,
I'm actually on a new platform. I need you all to move over to this email address and do that. And I'm like, dude, why do you keep moving around? Dude? Like, what's happening?
It's like he needs his like audience to download the Substack app and the Rumble app. Which, you know, hey, I relate, I guess. But no, on Substack, you can get your own and get it. Like, if you have a Patreon podcast, it's the same concept. Like, yeah, you can listen in the app. Like, I guess that's fine. But the Patreon app is terrible. So, and I know this from experience. You just, it allows you, when you click on the first episode, right after you subscribe, you click on just any of the premium episodes that you have access to, and you just go, it'll say, listen on Apple, listen on Spotify, and it'll just take you right in there, and it'll ask if you want to add it to your feed on your phone. And if I think even if the preferred player, if you have one of those like ghetto, like Cricket wireless ass players, like you can actually just copy the RSS feed and I believe paste it into your podcast thing. People take such pride in those, like,
some
like
under the hood.
Yeah. Where they're like, I listen on Beancasts or whatever. I'm like,
.fm, dude.
Like, I'm not really into Apple's.
It's such a foreign, like, I understand how all that works tech wise. Like, I know what an RSS feed is.
Yeah.
But I'm 100% YouTube clips, and I'll like rarely go into Spotify when I can't find something. Right. And it's like, that's all I do all day long. So it's like, I don't even know. People are always have all these feeds and shit. I'm like, dude, I couldn't even understand our own, like, machinations about this works.
I know. For
our own, it's crazy.
But I just laugh because there's like a person I know that knows how to like dox somebody like with through like an image, but they're like, how do you get off of the Substack feed? Like, it's just, like, all right, man. Like, it's fine. But anyways, also leave us a review on Apple. And then Spotify has a review thing too, which is really cool. You could just do that if you like us, just that's a good way to help us out. And especially
leave us a 5-star review, then become our enemy and then change it to a 1-star review.
Yeah, that'd be crazy if somebody did that.
Don't change the text at all. Just so keep the good text, but make it 1-star.
That would be crazy if somebody did that. If they left a 5-star review and then said who their favorite guest was and then changed it to a 1-star review after they hated us. That would suck if they did that. You can, if you don't believe me, go look at our reviews. And but anyways, the reviews do help. Like, look, I'm not fishing for compliments, but sometimes people will message me like, hey, I love this show. It's like, just say that on Apple. But I'll see it. Trust me. Thank you. So anyways, to the hotline, 510-256-9850. Leave a voicemail. Just leave them there, dude. We do a lot of solo. We do two podcasts a week. Some of them are solo. And even if there's a cool one for a guest, we'll play it for them too. But just anything, a take, even a take. It doesn't have to be a question. You could just be like, hey, I think this. And I'll be like, all right, that's fine. We'll talk about it. It can be anything. So, I like would you rathers. Those are fun. Those are kind of Reddit, but they're fun. You know, it's a good Reddit. So, all right. First one. What is this one about? Oh, this one's about bees.
Okay.
All right. I'm looking for the RC take on bees. This is the thing about like the bees. We're killing the bees. I'm walking around the neighborhood. I'm a little out of breath.
Were you just killing bees or what? Dude, it sounded like he was just killing bees. He's like, fuck, should I have done that? Yeah. It's like, oh shit, man. I don't know if it's anxiety because I don't think that was the right thing to do. But anyway.
The whole ecosystem. Is this true? Or is this a psyop? Like I said, I'm walking around my neighborhood. Like, it seems like, at least just based on here, it's a thing of like, it's just an excuse for libtards to like not mow their lawn. There's always homemade signs about feeding the bees.
Hold on, that's amazing. By the way, yeah, that's amazing. That's good. There's a child involved on here. There's a lot happens. The guy just killed
in this house. Bees. We believe in science and not mowing our lawn. Yeah. And
he just, what he did was mowed his libtard friend's lawn and is now taking care of his child. So that's what's happening. Yeah. But
science about feeding the bees, like weirdly laminated, and rained out, and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can tell because there's other signs. There's one that's like, you know, it's either a rainbow flag or like we support our mail carriers.
Mm.
Which, why wouldn't you? Like,
dude, this guy's killing it right now. Yeah, he's killing me.
Why wouldn't you?
Please support our mail carriers. Yeah. Damn, dude. First off, mail carriers, like, it's gone downhill. Because I saw a guy today, dude. The guy looked like a guy who steals packages, and he was delivering. They wear like insane clown posse shirts and shit, like delivering. It's like, what are you? Yeah, come on.
One thing I will say about Portland, man, is I've always noticed this too: is the quality of mail carrier is very high, and they look like they all got like this like shine to their eye. They look happy. They're like, you know, they look good. You know, it's a good group of people. But then, yeah, they do have, like at our old house, we had this guy that would like be talking to his friend on the phone on like with the AirPods.
Yeah.
And we'd have like our screen door open and he'd just be like, so anyway, and he'd like slam our fucking thing shut. And like, we'd be freaking out for like 2.5 seconds, be like, who's this? Someone going to murder us? And it was just the guy like talking full volume.
He's like, yeah, anyways, I'm going to kill this guy and his girlfriend.
No, dude. Yeah. I swear that's what he said.
And yeah, I'll give you your corn shirt back, dude. But we don't have mail carriers. We have assigned mail at birth carriers, dude. That's what we have. There was one guy that had these like crazy, like those like diabetic shoes. Yeah. Like, and he was like fucking like 22
big shoes,
dude. You know, the ones we're talking about, the black dude, the black ones with like the Velcro, like those like real black, like solid shoes. And you could tell you have to get them like old people, like when old people just can't fit into shoes anymore. And this dude was just like, this dude was hoofing, dude. And I was like, this is not the job for you, dude. No. Like, I couldn't, like, you might as well walk on hot coals, dude. Like, I don't, like, what is happening? But anyways, let's finish this question.
It makes no sense. Like, they're not firefighters, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, what I'm saying is like, these people are obviously not immune to other psyop.
Right.
Yeah.
So with the bees, is this like something they've gotten right? Should I stop mowing my lawn?
Yeah.
All right.
What do you think? Because I feel like I like bees. I think they're cool.
Yeah. No. So yeah, I think, okay. So this direct, I was actually just listening to a Dark Horse clip today on, because I had a Glenn knows, right? We won't air this out on the pod, but I had a climate change interaction with a dear friend. It got gnarly. It was rough, dude. It was like, you know, I thought a safe was space and it was space was safe and it was not safe to. Yeah. And it got pretty heated. And so anyway, so I was, of course, to like prove that I'm right in my own head, I'm like, let me just look up clips of, you know, like, you know how it goes when you like, you're just trying to confirm shit to yourself, you know? And mm-hmm. So anyway, I was listening and I do, people know I have my problems with them, but I've never ever felt the need to disown Brett Weinstein and Heather Hein, his wife, the Dark Horse podcast. Right. I think they're great at what they do. They're very nuanced. They don't fall in the whole like super based trap of like, you know, just disowning everything and being super cool. And, you know, and their stance on environmentalism is exactly my stance that, you know, climate change models are probably all hoax and bullshit. And they're not, at very least, they're not science. And because they don't. Right. They failed to predict reality, which is what science is, you know. And but we are in an environmental crisis, and if that makes you a libtard to say that, I don't know what is, like, you know, there are things happening on Earth that we can see that are indisputable: cutting down the rainforest, algae blooms in the, in the Gulf Coast, you know, killing dolphins and turtles and shit. Like, you know, we are wreaking havoc, and we will look back on this time and be like, damn, we were wilding out. We were getting active, you know,
mm-hmm.
we were horsing around, dude. And
you don't want to horse around with the animals.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And so, I mean, we have a lot of room for improvement, you know, and I don't think I think we're sticking around. I don't think we're going to exterminate ourselves or kill the planet or anything that drastic, but I do think we can really have a lot of room for improvement, and we will want to do it. You know, it's something that we will evolve to want to do to create a beautiful home for ourselves, and it'll only be we don't have to give up anything we don't want. We don't have to, you know, we can create, you know what I mean? We're going to evolve, just like, you know, like when you evolve past like eating Twinkies, you're like, you don't miss Twinkies, right? You're just like, what? I don't enjoy that anymore, you know? So it's like, I really think we can have the best of all worlds, and we don't have to live in squalor or eat the bugs and all that shit.
But what about the bees? Like, what is killing what is killing them? Like, are they dying at a rate that is hurting us?
So agriculture, so modern chemical agriculture and GMOs are killing the bees. And you don't need to not mow your lawn. You can mow your lawn. You can plant pollinators if you want to, but that's all small. It's just like taking shorter showers or turning off the lights. Like, that's all small potatoes. It's not going to move the needle at all. You know, it's like, it's so the lib version of it, of like, we can fix it with backyard pollinators. It's like, that's the psyop. And so he's on to something. He's on to something.
Yeah.
But the insect apocalypse is real. And, you know, like, you hear RFK talk about this. When, you know, when you took a road trip in the 60s, your car would be splattered with fucking bugs, you know, driving across the country. Now it doesn't happen anymore. That it's scary and fucked up that insects have just died off in mass.
Maybe Bill Gates is trying to replace them. I was around Mosquito Valley today. I was just out in this like kind of rural area and stuff. And dude, the mosquitoes, they were mean, dude. And they felt like a Gates joint, dude. I don't know. Yeah. But anyways, like
riled up, dude. Yeah.
So is that what's killing them though? It's just like the way we're doing agriculture. Cause like bees are, I would say, top three essential things alongside water with agriculture and sunlight, like bees. Dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that, and I'm also pro bee. This is where I beef with vegans, the mainstream vegan thing, where it's cause I think it could be a lot of things, but I think the number one thing that moves the needle is, chemical agriculture and GMO and just monocrops in general, just giant swaths of the same crop with no intercropping, with no, like, you know, you used to have rows of wildflowers along with cornfields every acre, every half acre stuff. We just don't do that anymore. And neonicotinoid pesticides. Mm-hmm. We really got to get Latham. I've been meaning to get Latham on here.
Yeah, we do
talk about it.
Hopefully he doesn't end up hating us. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he's
the boy. He's the boy. He's the boy. Yeah.
He's and he's. I've tested the. I've poked the bear. What's that? And yeah, he's.
No, the one you were talking about. I'm not trying to like be weird because I just don't want to do this because it ruins certain.
We don't want to do that.
I don't want to do this. But it was so jarring and shocking. It was just. It was just like, wow. Some of you might even be like, no, that wasn't that shocking. But like for me,
I knew it wasn't like a total overlap with us. I knew it was like I knew there were differences.
Yeah.
But I did not think it was to this degree. It was shocking. Yeah.
And, but the bees is like, like it's so the vegan take on bees is always still funny to me because they are saying essentially they are slaves, right? And it's like bee rape to be using them for what they do. But like for me, it's like, dude, it's like two days. It's like 2 days in football for me, dude. It's like the bees go to work and they go home, dude. Like it's just the way I look at it. Like they fucking do up downs, dude. You're doing up downs to save the planet. Like if you told a bee, like I know you can't talk to a bee, but if you could, you'd be like, hey, bro, like this is really important for you to do your fucking job that you enjoy doing.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? No, like that's where my problem.
Where you would die if you didn't do your job. But the whole thing. So I'm pro bee, and I wrote again. You could check, this isn't my main point, but you could read I have my Eat the Bugs tongue in cheek Bob's Red Pill article.
RickAndy.substack.com. Yeah. It's free.
So every one of the bee products consumable, bee pollen, honey, raw honey, and bee propolis and royal jelly are all extremely powerful foods, and in particular, high quality royal jelly is really insane. It's another it's an androgenic male substance. If you're on that tip, you know. So I've never vibed with the whole. You know, I've always been down with experimenting, self-experimentation over ideology, you know, for diet. And so I've always consumed that stuff, not like regularly or like in large amounts or whatever, but I've always tried it. And I'm like, oh, yo, this feels powerful. You know, raw honey, royal jelly, this is powerful stuff.
It's amazing.
And then like whiny vegans will be, well, you're stealing it. And so my take on that is...
Enslave them and save the planet with them if they're so fucking smart.
If you're a vegan and you eat peaches from the grocery store or almonds or any one of the thousands of food that we require pollination, the way it's done commercially is they have giant semi-trucks where the bed is a full bee colony, beehive.
Can you imagine driving that truck, dude?
I know. Yeah.
Driving the bee truck, dude, just throwing on Motley Crue, kickstart my heart playing, dude. And you're just like, I'm saving the fucking world, dude.
Yeah. So they drive these bee trucks around, but these actually are slave bees where they're fed 100% sugar water, which is, that's like feeding a cow corn, not good, you know, kind of thing. Right. And so my whole thing is like, just by eating a peach or almonds or almond milk or anything like that, you are, by your own logic, hate to say it, by your own logic, you are contributing to that which you detest. Whereas a guy with a backyard beehive who treats his bees well, doesn't steal all the honey, maybe takes half of it, lets them have the rest. Like you said, double days, up downs kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
That's a far better ecosystem. This is where, like, back in the day, the cool hippie based vegans and the omnivores got along, and they were like, oh yeah, we're all about the ecosystem, and you know, we might differ on some stuff, but that's, and now it's all like the Bill Gates, like transhumanism, veganism versus like fucking, you know, Saul Brough or whatever, you know, it's like, that's what it evolved into.
Oh, I don't want to counter signal him, dude, so don't do that.
Yeah, you know, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, exactly. So, you know what I mean? So it's like, I'm definitely like, we need more people having bee colonies, bee farms. We need less of the sugar trucks. We need smaller scale agriculture all across the board, decentralized, less monocrops. We need to grow more like fruits and vegetables in the Midwest and not just subsidy crops, you know? So that's my take. So yeah, so that's, we fix agriculture, we can fix
that. Save the bees instead of just laminating a platitude next to the save the mail carriers. It's like, dude, the mail carriers are probably like, fuck us and the bees, huh? You know, like,
yeah, exactly. All right.
Yeah. But the mail carrier's like, I hate bees, actually. Yeah. It sucks. Yeah.
You like the worker bee, yeah.
Yeah. And okay. So next up, by the way, I love insects, dude, and bugs. I was a bug kid, dude. I was a bug man. I'm not a bug man. I was a bug kid. I was a big 90s like bug kid.
I love it. What's your top three? Oh, you got the tarantula, dude. Forgot about
I mean,
the
I had it. I was a big time arachnid guy. Still am. Yep. Love spiders. Absolutely love spiders. So I had a. I mean, we don't have any spoidas in like they do in Australia. Yeah. They got spoidas, but I got. Like I had a pet tarantula as a kid, you know, only child. My mom was just like, let's get him a friend, you know? And she's like, not a snake though. I don't think she thought I was ready for a dog yet. This is when I was like five. She got me a tarantula. I was so fucking young. Yeah. And you only had to feed it like once a month. You just drop a couple cricks in there, dude. And they would just, it was electric watching it eat, dude. Electric. It was straight up like Sports Center, dude. It was so tight. And then you just put a little sponge that you would wet in there, and they would just sink their teeth in the sponge. I think lived until I was almost in college, dude.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You saw it. You probably saw it once, right? In my house. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I saw it all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It was hairy, but it was a girl. I was progressive. that was the name. And but it was I love that stuff. So like whenever I'd hear about bugs dying or like people like performatively freaking out about like bugs, unless they're like in your house, like what are you so sad about? Like such the fuck up, dude. Insects are cool.
I gotta say, especially as I got always from the time I was a kid, and I was scared of moths as a kid, you know. But
That's right. You really were. I remember. That was like almost into high school. Not to like put you on blast, but it followed you for a little bit longer than I thought it would. Yeah. But You beat them though.
I'm down with the Moths for sure. And but it's crazy.
Because of Mothman.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. It's the UFO turned me. Yeah.
It'd be funny if Mothman was like freaking everybody out. You're just like, I just hate that it's a moth. Anybody else freaking out? The moth, like,
it's a big one too. But I've grown to love, especially I will just Google, because people talk about like, you know, where do you see God on Earth? You know, you might see like a whale breaking the surface, or like, you know, or just like an, you know, or just intelligent design and stuff. When I look at like sketches of insects or zoomed up insects and stuff like that, and just the way they're structured, like a fly's eyeball, I'm like, this shit is so fascinating. It's a whole world unto itself. And of course, mantids, you know, big mantid, you know, that's a whole alien thing right there. And the like a mantis and cricket, like their elbow joint, like all their joints and stuff, it looks like machine gears, you know, like an iron, cast iron gear, like an old timey factory thing. And it's just, that shit is a whole. I love it.
Have you ever, I don't know. Like, my wife's like really nice and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, like, have you ever like ran an idea by her and she just goes like that and then doesn't say anything?
Oh, yeah.
But the answer is no. But like, she just doesn't tell you no.
Yeah.
So like, she, you know, my wife, I ran this by her once, and I was like, what if we got like two praying mantises, and we just set them free in the apartment complex, a very vegetative apartment complex that I live in, and it just patrolled it for us, and like perhaps it would know that we were cool, you know what I mean, like perhaps it would know we were cool, and it would come up and say hi every once in a while or something, or like come up on the thing, and we would see it like once every couple weeks, but it would just feed off the garden. Like, what if, because you can buy praying mantis on the internet, and I feel like that's predatory, but I would like let it be free. I feel like I'd be saving a praying mantis. I don't know. Yeah. She just hit me with the like that, and then walked away. Yeah. I was just like, she was just like, what a fucking loser. I was like, that's tight. But God forbid if there's a fucking cat on the side of the road.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Of course. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Let's take him in our one bedroom apartment with a dog.
Yeah.
Like, it'll go so well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking work. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah.
No, dude, but, I can't. I'll never be mean to a mantis because I just see myself as a disembodied soul, 3,000 light years in the future, just getting tortured by a mantis because I didn't treat him right on Earth or something. Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. You know,
I heard 2023, dude. Yeah. Mantis. Yeah. Yeah. You swerved at me, asshole. Yeah. You saw me. Yeah. All right. So next one, I believe this one's about vitamins and supplements. This will probably be you taking the lead on this one, because the last one is a doozy that in there. But
hey guys, it's Matt. I was just wanting to get the Rare Candy opinion on the vitamin IV services and stuff like that. You know, people will come out to your house and give you like zinc or all kinds of, you know, crazy shit, you know, IV or these injections or anything like that. Just wondering if it sounds legit, if it is legit, I don't know. Seems like it'd be kind of cool to just have like some bespoke vitamins, you know, whenever I want them. But then again, I'm not super sure of the quality or anything like that. Anyway,
What do you think?
Yeah, I've never tried it. I've wanted to. I know that Rogies is big into that. You know, the fucking the vitamin IV. I've wanted to try it. I've looked it up, and it's like kind of prohibitively expensive unless you're making like $300,000 a year. It's not that bad. It's like a couple $100 a pop or whatever, you know. It's like discretionary income level kind of thing, you know. But I definitely had, well, my first thought, and this is my thinking with anything, because I'll always be this way even when I'm rich, but just because I've been so poor for so long, it's like, how do I do this myself for free or cheap, you know? And I'm like, yo, I want to learn how to literally like a heroin junkie learns how to shoot up a vitamin IV just to try it. how to make my own blends and stuff. Because I know that they're doing it. They're probably like, they're probably doing it professionally, but also it's probably not that fucking hard to mix vitamins in a water bag, you know? And it's like, and shit. Right. So I want to try it. But of course, the question is like, what form are they using? Are they using like synthetic B vitamins? Are they using ascorbic acid? Are they, you know, all sorts of stuff? So my main rec is just like build a crazy gut microbiome with kefir or kefir and fermented foods and stuff, probiotics, and just take herbs and vitamin supplements. And then you that shit will become your blood basically. And, so like that's definitely square one. And then if you have any kind of illness or whatever, you might want to consider doing the IV. But that's basically what, you know, so that's the Suzanne Humphreys curing measles and Linus Pauling vitamin C IV, you know, cancer. And so right. I think there's definitely potential, and especially I think that's especially for childhood viral illnesses. If we're going to move away from vaccines as a society, and we want natural immunity to reign, which we probably do based on science, but we also don't want to lose, we want to lose literally zero kids to any of these diseases, although already we already don't, but let's say we like a kid is having a rough time with the measles, just get them on the IV, you know, vitamin, high dose vitamin A, vitamin C, you know, short, temporary, short, doesn't have to be like a long-term thing. So I think, yeah, definitely. And you'll notice that it's one of those, there were all these medical trends in like the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that sound kind of naturopathic and worked. And then we moved away from them and no doctor knows about them. So yeah, IV bags, I think, were one of those. And now like no fucking doctor even know. They're like, what? That sounds like pseudoscience, but it was literally in the Merck manual for physicians in, you know, the 70s or whatever. Right. And so, yeah, I think there's a lot of stuff like that.
Right.
What do you think? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I feel like it'd be weird if people were like coming in and administering IVs to me all the time. I just don't feel I just don't feel like I need that. I don't know. I just feel like give me the vitamins that I need and I'll take them. I don't know. If you feel the need, like I said, for like childhood illness or like a short term thing, I could see that. But like, I don't want it. I'm not trying to turn into like Howard Hughes, dude, and just fucking have like people just like vampire.
Howard Hughes just has like a piss bag connected to his arm. It's like literally just his urine.
Straight up, dude. Just catheter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, all right. Last one. This is rap related. This will span into another conversation because there was a horrible diss song that came out today that I have to address. It wasn't a diss to us, but it might as well have been. Yeah. But anyways, this is a fun question from our boy Kurt. Shout out Kurt, Gain of Fiction. Legend, Dostoevsky crew. Dude, shout out. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Kurt. Just wondering, who's your favorite Wu-Tang member and your favorite solo album? It doesn't have to be my favorite member. For me, it's Chef Raekwon and Cuban Lynx. Thanks.
Not a bad choice.
No.
Not a bad choice. Cuban Lynx is probably the best Wu-Tang solo album. Liquid Swords I like it. It's just GZA's not swagged out enough to carry the whole album for me a lot of times. And but it is tight. Like it is tight. Yeah. It's a little more like epic, like fantasy RPG. And then Cuban Lynx is Tarantino. You know, like it's like a Tarantino movie. Dude, but they're both great. Both great. Absolute classic albums. But when it comes to like return value, I had a Liquid Swords period. A lot of guys do when they're like 15 to 17 years old. You get really into that stuff. It's fun. And then Supreme Clientele, a lot of people said that's not even my favorite Ghostface album. Ghostface is my favorite. I mean, Ghostface,
he went on his own. He just went, dude, he took
started
it.
Doing the MF Doom stuff, dude. When he started doing the Fish Scale is the one I return to.
Like, so underrated, dude.
Fish Scale is amazing. Because I remember when it came out, dude. I want to say it was like 06. I can't remember. I remember when it came out, and that was when you and I were really like going to the record store, shout out Rasputin and Streetlight, and we were just buying shit there.
Is it more fish? Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Finish your. Yeah.
More Fish was the one after, I think.
What's the one that Jay Cutler on Dust with the You God feature?
I don't remember which one that was, but my favorite song, and I still play it to this day because it sounds like a John Wick song to me, is Clips of Doom featuring Trife. And it's over a Doom beat, and it's a very, very simple Doom beat. It's off one of the special Herbs and Spices, like Doom beat, but it is amazing. It just literally sounds like John Wick going through like the gauntlet, like, and just going crazy. Ghost is cinematic as hell. I mean, Wu-Tang is a cinematic group. Yeah. I grew a little bit out of them, and they have a lot of shit. And I mean, shit isn't bad music. Like, they have a lot of really bad music. I don't think they made anything good as a crew in the 2000s, to be honest. It was much better. Like, and even like Method Man, somebody like Method Man, who I love. I mean, he's amazing. Definitely the best feature out of any of them. But his albums are always shit. For the most part, even Tikal, I think, is a bit overrated. A lot of people love Inspect the Deck. There's a whole lore behind like the fire that burned fucking Inspect the Deck's album. I never wanted an Inspect the Deck album. Never my thing. Like, again, another feature. A lot these guys work together as a team. It's like seeing only the shortstop play on a baseball game. Like, you're like, okay, that's where are the other guys. A lot of times. But Ghost was really, really good. Ghost was like actually trying to, and Raekwon, those are easily the two guys that decided to make like solo records.
Perfect
that were
pair just, too.
That were amazing. And then like I think Fish Scale had Ragu was the I'm in the crib watching Larry King live. It's a fucking hard ass intro, dude. And it felt like a Tarantino movie. Like when Ray and Ghost would be together, it would just be like John Travolta and Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction, but the rap version. And it was just so sick. Like, they would play off each other. Ghost is the guy. I really, one thing this question reminded me of, have you ever seen the documentary from the 90s, The Show, it was called? And it was that rap documentary that Ghostface was one of the guys they followed, where he's like getting a massage, and it's so funny. Yeah. We need to rewatch that and cover it because it's really good. Maybe have Adam come on for that. That would be really good. We should reach out to him for that. Yeah. But I love that. But anyways, to you.
Do you know what I'm going to say? There's a glaring omission here. Glaring.
I mean, you can't say Red Man because he's not in the Wu-Tang.
It's for me. It has to be Old Dirty Bastard, dude.
That's a good point. I've never been the biggest ODB guy, so I just like he's fine. I just return to the 36 wasn't my thing, dude. I don't know,
dude. It's easy. Easily my favorite Wu-Tang for me.
Really?
The EBT card, the food stamps card. I mean,
aesthetically, he's him and Ghost are in another.
No, movie. I had a funny. I think you know this. I don't know if you know the story. No, I definitely told you, like, because I'm connected. You know, you're always connected. Like, when an album is connected to a story in your own life, you love it. And I didn't listen to that album till I was like my first year of college when I was 18. You know, and so I was a little late to it in terms of the rap. I'd listened to all, you know, like the early Wu-Tang albums and all that stuff.
So good.
But then I got in trouble with shrooms my freshman year of college. Do you know this story? Yeah.
I think I vaguely remember when it happened, but I don't. Yeah. I mean, it's been years.
It was so funny. It was pretty traumatic. And it was such a dude. It was. So I had this friend, cool dude.
Yeah, you were protesting against Israel. Yeah.
But he was. So his friend, he's kind of a dork, and, you know, but I loved him. He was cool, you know, and like he wasn't like a wingman, let's say, like, you know, it wasn't like one of those types of dudes. And so, but anyway, we started we were doing shrooms together for the first time. Right. I never did them in high school or anything like that. Right. And, the first couple of times, like, damn, this is amazing. Like, what the fuck? And then he's like, yo, my buddy from upstate, out of town or whatever is going to be coming through. Can he come? He crash my dorm. We should all do shrooms. Three of us. And I was like, yeah, maybe, you know, I don't know this kid. Like, yeah, we could do it, whatever. And so we end up getting like a half, you know, like a, what is it? Like a half ounce or half pound or whatever it is, the amount to do the whole thing. And this guy comes and immediately I was like, I don't trust this motherfucker at all. He's like a little like ratty little dude. And I'm like, not this. He's just like a straight, like white trash, like wigger dude, like some, like the guy, like Adam Lehrer makes fun of, you know, the classic,
right.
You know, archetype, and I'm like, fuck, are we really doing this? And so we all do it. against my better judgment. And we're in my room. And this is when I had the Technic turntables, record collection.
The coffin. In the coffin.
The coffin. That fucking. And so we're just vibing in my room. And this dude starts freaking out. I think he has like a half eighth. Like literally has like a half eighth. Not even a large amount, right? And I think he was just hypersensitive to it. And he starts... he starts tripping out. He's like, dude, he's going wild. He's like, yo, this is not working out for me. I'm freaking out. And then he projectile vomits all over one of my turntables playing a record.
No!
It was not
the 12 honey.
The 12 honey. Oh, it was the, and I will never forget the record. It was Tony Williams, Lifetime Band, the red cover.
You want to talk about a Lifetime Band? Dude, you never come back to my fucking place.
I know, dude. Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
Literally that record is burned under my mind. And so anyway, so I was like, dude, you got to get the fuck out. So they leave. I'm like, get out, dude. Like, get out. And he's just freaking out. And then I proceed. There's this whole other story. So anyway, so I'm like, dude, this sucks. So I'm shrooming, right? I'm still shrooming, but I'm like, it's fucking ruined, right? And then I put on, I had on my To Listen To pile, I had the Older Dirty Bastard first solo
Return
album.
Return to the 36 Chambers.
Yeah, and I just put it on, and it just completely, just the whole moment, everything, right after that whole scene, it completely changed my life, man. I was just like... I was like the one, it was the silver lining of that evening. And then the way that story ends is that guy goes to like his buddy's other dorm room and continues to freak out on half of an eighth. Okay. like I'm not even that high. And he starts like foaming at the mouth and like taking it, beating on door, and like the cops were called.
No.
And then they traced it back to me. And that's how I got in trouble. Cause there was some like snitching involved or something basically. So I had to go. And I like, turned myself into the like campus cops at this other dorm, dude. It was crazy, dude.
I mean, to be fair, like, we're not gonna say where you went to school, but I know where it is.
Yeah,
I could say that's probably the first time that's ever happened on that campus.
Yeah, I bet, dude. Yeah, it was a funny scene, and I remember that it was funny, and so I had to do like community service, and I avoided, you know, any real consequences or
you show up to community service and you're on just shrooms like at community service.
No, but it's funny. No, because I showed up and I went to go deal with these officers, and I had like my beanie on because it was cold and like wintry and whatever, and they're like, take off your beanie. Are you hiding any now? I was like, you think I brought some here? You know, like I like willingly it was so funny. And
it's
then
just, it's not meth. Yeah.
And just to tell like the one other aspect of the story. So I started doing this community service, and it was basically like sending out books to prisoners, which was actually really interesting. And,
that's sick. Gain of fiction, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was a really interesting time, and it was all fine after that, whatever. But then, so I was doing all this, I think I got like 80 hours or something. It was a lot, dude. And so I was just doing this stuff, and it was actually a really interesting kind of scene. And then this kid comes in to this like prison library system thing. And he's like the dorkiest, nerdiest kid I'd ever seen. And he's like working with me. I'm like, he's like, usually I was by myself. And then he comes on. I was like, oh damn, you got in trouble too. Like what did you do, dude? And he's like, first of all, I was like, how many hours did you get? So I got like 80 for mushrooms. Right. And he's like, yeah, I got like 300. And I'm like, dude, what? Like, what the fuck did you do, man? And this dude's like TI-83 calculator, dude. You know, I'm like, who is this kid? Mm-hmm. This dude and his friends like created a software and hacked into the class enrollment system so they could enroll into harder classes earlier than other people. Like, they were that nerdy. They hacked into the school to beat the system to get into better classes.
Oh,
and they got in trouble. They threw the book at them, dude. It was so funny. I was like, that's really harsh for them to, like, they should like reward you for that. They like, damn, you know,
get you enrolled and like do like an FBI thing where it's like, well, we can't stop you, so you need to work for us.
But I was blown away. Yeah. But I was like, Yeah, that was yin and yang, like me and that kid.
That's hilarious. Yeah. I
mean, I was at that point, I was already like checked out. I was like,
yeah.
I hate this place. I'm, you know, I just want to like do.
It's not a guy who's locked in into to university there. That's not a move that he makes. Last thing I wanted to say before we get out of here, this reminded me there was a diss track today dropped by Kendrick Lamar. He's been in a little. The girls are fighting. There was a little tussle between him and Drake. Big alpha matchup there. Jesus. And you have the Toronto dance hall. Like it sucks that Drake is like our Sting now.
I know.
Like how we've fallen is that he's Sting of our generation. Like, cause you could just switch up anytime. Cause Sting can play like drop a Loot album, like, you know, and like Drake would do like the dance hall thing and whatever. Drake, I will give it to Drake. Cause Drake actually like takes diss songs as like regular, like his diss songs were always like, okay, but it was always just like, yeah, but you're gay, you know, like, but like he would the Meek Mill stuff back in the day. Like that was kind of fun, I guess, for what it was. But dude, Kendrick. I mean, we've been chronicling the fall of Kendrick Lamar.
You showed me today. I hadn't listened to it, and
I wanted you to because I was gonna not listen to it and then just go by audience reaction. But the way people were talking about it made me like, okay, I have to go listen now.
Yeah.
And so first off, I was like, it's on streaming, and I was kind of like Apple Music. And I was kind of like, damn, I kind of think this should just be like a thing you have to get on like MediaFire or like ghetto ass YouTube, like his one standalone diss track, you know, like it's kind of weird that it was like available on a streaming service, a big music thing. But anyways, different era. And we've been chronicling Kendrick Lamar since our Gendrick Lamar episode, which was one of my favorite solo episodes ever. And that's probably 2 years old at this point, but it's hysterical. And you know, Kendrick has fallen off a cliff. I was a fan back in the day. And I'm talking like 2011, 2012, before even Section 80, was doing college radio. And it was one of the few things that piqued my interest. Yeah. Look out for Detox and all those like crazy mixtape tracks he was putting out. Anyways, he puts out this song today and it's called Euphoria. Now that's got the fans' heads freaking out because a diss track nowadays is never like you're gay, fuck you, fuck your bitch too. That's like not the diss tracks anymore. Now they're like, it's like subtweeting on a diss track, where a diss track by nature is a subtweet essentially because you're not fighting the guy. So you know, it's right. So, but anyways, diss tracks can be fun and entertaining. The Jay-Z Nas one's always classic. Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, and Eazy-E, all that stuff was so good.
Common
versus Ice Cube is the most underrated rap beef of all time. Both sides, it was a heavyweight fight. And Common, I was team Cube, of course. Team Black Cube.
Yeah. And but you gotta give respect. You gotta give the
but Nas. Common was great. He took a Pete Rock beat and made a song called The Bitch in You, a hard ass Pete Rock beat.
Yeah.
And he was good, dude. He really got him on that one. So, but it was a really fun back and forth match, territorially involved. But now rap is all centralized and globalized. Doesn't matter where anybody's from. So it's kind of this like,
Philip like the K. cloud. Dick. It's like a cloud.
Philip K. Dick, like Ubik cloud rap beef, like run cider shit, like. Yeah. And then anyways, the song is called Euphoria. So where fans are going with this, so like. I'll save that. The song itself is like Kendrick starts out and it's like, this is how every rap song that's like supposed to be epic now starts. I look at 6 minutes long. I'm already rolling my eyes. I'm like, I know exactly what this is going to be. It's going to start out with like a soul, like a soft timpani drum in a Chinese meadow. And then like a soul.
You're like Shingles, like watching the dumb comedy series and predicting exactly what's going to happen.
Then it's going to go, hold up. And then it's going to go into like, epic horn. 808 mode, and then he's gonna rap incoherently because that's when he's actually saying things. Is he's like gonna start doing the like inner monologue, like Kendrick, like transgender autogynephile voice that he does in his head. He's like, Kendrick, that's Drake, that's your boy. That man, fuck that. I don't care. I don't like when he starts doing all that stuff. And
why did anyone think that was ever cool? I was like, this is what's hot now.
Swimming
like,
Pools was a horrible song, and that was where he like debuted that one. And it was dude, that was not. It was not a good song. And I knew
we were like. I'm not saying I was a hater. Like, I liked Kendrick back then. But I knew, I was like, something's wrong. This is leading us down a wrong path that we're not going to enjoy.
Yeah, and then, he dresses like Cam Newton steampunk now. Like, it's just terrible. But anyways, like, it starts going into, hold up, and he starts doing the big like reveal, the horn, dude.
Tempo change.
We need to do a stop of tempo change 808 horn horn sample epic drops, like Russell Crowe Gladiator, like mimicking type thing. Are you not entertained? We need to put a stop to that. Until we figure out what's going on. And but the big thing the fans were doing, and he wasn't saying shit, dude. It was all these things where it's like you had to have followed Drake's like Instagram stories to understand half the lines, which is gay, because you would hear, dude, Jay-Z versus Nas. Jay-Z would just go, you know, the Takeover. I was more of an Ether guy myself, but like Takeover was good. I mean, it was clever. He was like, I sell more albums than you. You've always wanted to be me, and which is true. Yeah. And then Nas goes, "You're a dick riding faggot." That's just what he says. And you're just like,
Or like, yeah, Ice Cube, you just like said Ice Cube, like, "You're gay." Dude.
So for the whole time, people's thesis right now, because we're doing Israel versus Palestine, so and like leftist rap fans, this is perfect for this to happen.
Yeah,
they're saying, and these are like big blog, Tiny Desk people. They are saying, well, Kendrick, in a way, in a roundabout way, is calling Drake a gay Jewish pedophile, because it's true. He did call him in a roundabout way. I'm not sure you like pussy. He also says, I'm not sure you should be allowed to say the N-word. I'm like, what is this, Jezebel magazine? Like, and then he says that in there. And he, as like Kendrick's mourning the Jezebel, the thing that went down, RIP Jezebel magazine. And so he, but I was like, whoa, Ice Cube would just call Drake a gay Jewish pedophile. He would make a happy 4chan merchant album cover with Drake doing the hands. That would be his. That would be his diss track, old school Ice Cube.
The black cube.
That's what he would do. He would drop that. It would light the streets on fire. It would be amazing. He would go on a radio show, like Funk Flex style radio show, and he would air it out, whatever. I forget what the guy's name in LA, the big radio DJ, shock jock guy back in the day. Would just Big Boy. He would just go on Big Boy's thing in LA and just air out. That's how this is supposed to go. That was totally fine, because what we're doing right now is you get these like girl subtweet type stuff, or you get like the hyper violent one where it's like, oh, that guy in Chicago, he got subtweeted on Twitter and he just went over to that guy's house and live streamed him shooting his whole family. And then there's like a Vice journalist with glasses, that white guy's in the corner like, this, I didn't sign up for this. This is scary. We need to fix the tap water here. Like, he's like, this is like Flint.
This is the violence.
So
it's that's like Hamilton from
nobody just has like an aggressive diss song where they say exactly what they want to say. And people like, again,
dude, that made me feel I listened to that made me feel nothing. I was just like, okay. And you gotta understand, go on, finish. I knew you, I cut you.
He the track is called Euphoria, right? So I didn't know this, but Drake is a producer on Euphoria. The show, the Sam Levinson show, you know, the all the young stars are from there basically now. Zendaya, Sydney Sweeney and stuff. So this is what this is how you're supposed to feel about this rap. So I've seen multiple tweets from like big accounts trying to contextualize this, because you know, all good diss songs need a companion thread to them for you to understand them about, like, well, if you follow Drake's Instagram stories from 2023, you would know this reference. And and then it says I gotta pull it up, it's insane. I mean, it was just like it set me off. I didn't really want to comment on it, but I had to say something. So first off, you know, a lame like fake black dude is like commenting this when he says nah, when it starts with nah, the tweet he goes, nah, Kendrick Lamar's diss track being titled Euphoria is really a layer to the disrespect that people aren't realizing. Drake is a producer of the show Euphoria, and that show featured child pornography. Wild.
God, dude.
So he's calling Drake a pedophile, not because, and there's actually some weird thing with him and like Millie Bobby Brown, the girl that played 11. I remember he was like being weird towards her, which that was odd.
Emphasis 11, dude. Emphasis. Yeah.
Disappointed. He was like, oh, 17? He's like, he's like, well, what's the name?
No, and that's, what are you mad at? Like a 28-year-old actress playing
a 28-year-old girl, like being naked. Yeah. It's like, oh, have you ever seen a movie called Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Have you ever seen American Pie? Like, it's like these people haven't, but I laugh at that, because he's like, so you have to buy into the fact that a popular HBO show is child pornography in order to understand that Kendrick Lamar is dissing Drake and calling him a pedophile, which is like, oh, okay, we have TruAnon disses now. Great, we have TruAnon rap disses.
Yeah, so is Kendrick Lamar just like a
genre is
Topo
dead.
Reddit, dude?
Like, yeah, it's Topo subreddit. True and on shit, we're done. Rap is done. Sorry, R.I.P. That's what you did. You didn't diss Drake. You dissed rap.
And you have the best take of like Kendrick, you took 3 years off and became this, you know, like you didn't you could have like came out with a heater and it became, you dropped.
Yeah, N95. You're supposed to come out with like Aaron Rodgers, like Alex Jones bars when you take 3 years off. Like you're supposed to come out and talk about like atrazine and shit. Like, the other thing,
just more zooming out. I know we've talked about this a lot before, and I think you've talked about it on other pods and stuff. Again, our generation of white boys making beats in high school and college and you know, like that whole thing, right? Maybe we were too at fault of this, but we were interested in you guys. Any of you millennials might know what we called real hip hop. You know, yes, it was cringe, but we did our homework. We listened to old cool shit. We did our homework. You know, we dug back in the crates. You know, we didn't, you know. That's completely lost now, right? There's no honor among, like, even looking back. Oh, 2012, that was eons ago. I'm not going to listen to that song. Yeah. You know, there's no common thread anymore. And it's all because of streaming services and everything. Again, people from our generation took it too far with like the real hip hop thing where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, you got the Pete Rock drums and I won't listen to 808.
Right. No 808, no auto. Yeah. That was too far. That was an overdrive. Exactly.
Yeah. But at least we fucking knew music history organically and, you know, had some baseline of understanding. I bought record players and records and played them and shit. And it's like, that's just gone now. That's just completely gone. And that's why we have shit like this now.
Exactly. It's done. It's done. Kendrick took 3 years off to talk about his trans aunt and fucking Pfizer. Okay, great. And how Kyrie Irving is wrong. Kyrie
Irving. You let me astray, Kyrie. Yeah, it's like
horrible. Anyway, that's it, guys. PsyOps Book Club. We're going to be recording this weekend. Gain of Fiction. We got Valis and A Clockwork Orange are coming up. Both of those are going to be in the vault. Heaters. We'll have a solo. We'll have another solo episode. I got plenty of stuff. We'll have that for you this Friday at the normal time. And again, rarecandy.substack.com. Get signed up. It's worth every penny. Ask me. So on that note, guys, everybody have a safe weekend.